Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, listener dear. Hello, it's me.
Hello, Tom. It's great to have you here. Do you want to introduce the rest of us?
Yeah, I introduced myself to myself there. It's always a pleasure.
That's what happens when you're self-employed. You spend a lot of time on your own and you have to just jazz it up a bit.
Well, one of your ambitions, as you've talked famously about before, is to shake your own hand.
Famously.
And you came perilously close to it there introducing yourself to yourself.
getting closer to living my dream.
So for anyone who's not heard the episode before, would you like to introduce yourself to the listener as well?
Hello, everyone. I'm Tom.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Ben.
And welcome to an episode of Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown. Now, this was recorded at the Aberystwyth Comedy Festival, the sort of sister festival to our favourite festival, the McCuntleth Comedy Festival.
Absolutely. It's only in its second year. So I wouldn't say brand new, but it's in its second year.
It's okay. You wouldn't say it's... Well, can you clarify how many years it's been going?
It's no longer brand new,
sadly. It's no longer brand new. It's about 2 years.
Yes.
2 years old.
It's in its sophomore year.
It's sophomore year. Lovely to have a phrase there.
And the thing you forget about places like Aberystwyth is it's a very long way to go.
It's a long, long way.
We thought we'd up and down in a day.
Which we did. I think you stayed on because you did another show there, didn't you?
Absolutely, yes.
Karaoke. Clark and I went up and down in a day. And after the show, we went to the fish and chip shop to buy some delicious fish and chips and then got on the train that was going to take us some of the way back to London, and it was the smallest train ever. It was basically like Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, it was a tiny carriage.
And we really stank it out.
Oh, yeah.
I had curry sauce and chips.
Hot food on the train is always a danger, isn't it?
It's always a danger you're going to be unpopular.
It took a little time to arrive. It was very good.
Are you talking about the train or the food?
The food.
Right.
Okay. So I think we had intentions of maybe eating a bit before we got on, but...
Didn't happen.
Nah.
Didn't happen.
Well, amongst all of that, we also recorded an episode of our podcast. We had incredible guests.
They're going to hear the podcast. We don't want to know about the food we had afterwards. Maybe people listen.
This should be the new introduction.
That's exactly right.
What did we eat before this episode?
I tell you what, though, the real mistake, curry sauce on a train.
Yes, curry sauce on a train. You know what? That's why Chris Ramsey's never done it. Chris Ramsey's done, he's done pizza on a train, but he's never done curry sauce on a train because, you know what? He's a populist.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. So this episode is great. We have two brilliant guests in John Luke Roberts and Eleanor Tiernan.
Two absolute belters.
First time for John Luke and the second time for Eleanor Tiernan, but they're both brilliant.
Yes, absolutely. If they are gigging away, then go and see them.
If they're gigging away.
Yeah.
Or at home.
If they're gigging at home or away. I think John Luke Roberts has got a show on at the Soho soon.
Great.
So
look at the Soho website for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But follow them both on Twitter. I'm sure they'll talk about it. We can say the next show is going to be at the Phoenix, our spiritual home, the Phoenix in Cavendish Square. It's on March the 10th, and it features a special guest, Matt Lucas.
Lovely!
Very Ooh. Exciting.
Who we secured his booking by bumping into him in a Pret.
Yeah, we ran into him in Pret, and we sat down, we had had a meal with him.
Yeah.
And
that can't be our new booking policy.
Just hanging out in Pret. It wasn't fish and chips. Listen, we're not going to tell you what meal we have with Matt until the next episode.
Yeah, don't blow the load.
Something to look forward to.
Something to look forward to, guys. But yeah, get tickets from that at tickettext.co.uk/pappies-flatshare. We're also going to be at MacFest as well.
Yes!
Yes. Saturday.
A welcome return.
2nd of May.
That's what I'm describing as.
And the 3rd of May. Well, we'll see. 2nd of May, 3rd of May, midday shows. We haven't booked any of the guests for that yet, but get your tickets from MacFest, the MacFest website.
And so, please do remember, it's not a bank holiday weekend this year. Don't make that mistake.
Is it not a bank holiday weekend this year?
I know. They've shifted the bank holiday to the week after.
What does that mean?
I know. It means a long train home with curry sauce.
Yum, yum, yum.
Can't wait for it. And also, I can't wait for this episode. So let's listen to it and enjoy. Tom, Ben.
Whoa, Matthew, what the hell is it today?
Yeah, what's up, my little prince?
Well, firstly, Tom, less of the HE double hockey sticks for that. And you, I love the new nickname. Always happy with the new nickname every week. But listen, one of you two has got to book the train to the Aberystwyth Comedy Festival.
Oh, well, listen, it's not going to be me.
No?
I had a terrible time the last time I caught a train. I booked a specific carriage because I wanted to read a book and get some work done. But when I got in there, oh, it was so loud. There were these British prisoners of war, and they were trying to build things. Loads of Japanese voices shouting at them. At the end, there was a really loud explosion. Turned out, I booked the Bridge Over the River Quiet carriage.
That's lovely stuff, actually. That's really lovely stuff.
Clark, couple of young people explaining it to each other in the middle. Google it later, maybe.
It's a crunchy joke.
Yeah, it's a very crunchy joke. Clarky, what about you?
Ah, well, Matthew, I'm the same as Tom. I mean,
a legend.
Yeah.
Brilliant at comedy.
Never that. No, I, the last time I took a train, honestly, it was awful. It took forever. It was to this comedy festival, if you can call it that, out in the middle of nowhere. It was so expensive. And the worst thing is, you know when you get onto a train and you've got a long journey and you realise you know the person next to you?
Oh, yeah.
You know that feeling, Crosby? And you then have to make conversation with that person.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The whole journey. You know that feeling, Crosby?
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the other person just opens their laptop and pretends to do some writing, Crosby.
Yeah.
You know that feeling?
Yeah, I get that feeling, yeah, yeah.
Well, that was today. That yeah, was my experience today. Yeah.
But listen, there's only one way to settle this. We're going to have a...
Flash
Slam Down. Hello and welcome to Flash Air Slam Down, the yes. panel show that says, I never meant to cause you any sorrow. I never meant to cause you any pain. I only wanted one time to get to Aberystwyth. I only wanted to get to Abba on a direct train. Direct train, direct train. Direct train, direct train. Direct train, direct train. But you have to change at Birmingham. There's no fucking direct train. I'm the host of Landlord, Matthew Crosby.
Lovely.
We are live at the Aberystwyth Comedy Festival. Whilst they're under my roof, they'll be following my rules. Let's say hello to the tenants, Tom Parry and Ben Clark.
Whoa, 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 whoa! The Occhivow.
What's that? What does that mean?
Go fuck yourself. No, this means thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, unlike our tickets, our guests are first class. So who have you brought along to help you book a train this week? Tom?
Well, listen, the Jamboree was in trouble.
Oh, no.
Yes, it was indeed. Just wasn't much fun. That's the truth
of it. Oh, that's a shame.
I know, never read the TripAdvisor reviews. Right. Listen, those TripAdvisor reviews, they're brutal.
Wasn't
for a Jamboree, not much fun.
Wasn't much fun. 2 stars.
That's what they said.
What an awful complaint.
Well, I went out and hired the funniest guy I know. Please welcome Mr. John Luke Roberts!
Oh, John Luke Roberts is here!
Hey, hello, yay.
Hey. Welcome to the show. Welcome.
Well, pleasure, thank you.
Thanks for being so fun as well.
Thank you, yes.
Are you, yes. Are you a good flatmate? Are you a bad flatmate? What kind of a flatmate are you?
I am a messy but apologetic flatmate.
Nice.
And do you create a mess, tidy up, then apologise?
Oh, no. Create a mess. Have it pointed out to me I've created a mess. Apologise. Time passes. I tidy the mess. But in that, I've made another mess in that period of time. So there's a series of overlapping messes. I will tidy them up, but not all at once.
Sure. So there's always something. You've always got one on the boil.
A little bit of mess, just ticking over.
What's the mess situation currently? Because obviously you're not in your flat. You've come away for the weekend to Aberystwyth.
I'm putting everything into storage, so both very messy and very organised.
Your mess into storage?
Well, yeah, just cardboard box everywhere. I thought, let's deal with this way. No, I'm moving this stuff out of the flat because the flat's being decorated.
I had a storage unit a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
And it's never a good position to be in. No one's in a storage unit because they're having a good time.
What do you mean in a storage
unit? My life's so brill. I'm going to move all my stuff into a storage unit.
Harry, it makes it seem like you were living in that storage unit.
I tried. I wasn't allowed. But like, eventually I sorted my place. I was able to move out the storage unit. And I got an email the next week from the storage unit saying, so sorry you're leaving us. Was it something we did wrong? And it's like, no, you're a storage unit. Like, no one wants to stay at a storage unit.
As long as there's lockable doors, they can't do anything wrong, can they?
Exactly.
Do you want to name the company?
It was one of the blue and yellow ones.
Did you store your stuff at an IKEA?
Oh, yeah, actually, sorry.
They sold it all. Good.
So, Clarky, who have you brought along with you this week?
I bought my friend. It's Eleanor Tiernan.
Eleanor Tiernan.
Whoa, wee.
Eleanor, thank you so much. Clarky, can I say the intros are getting better and better?
I was going to say ticket inspector, and then I was like, forget it.
Sure. Why bother saying that? good call. You know, you made the right choice. I'm sorry I went back to it. Eleanor, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Now, Eleanor, what kind of a flatmate are you?
I feel like I'm a two-faced flatmate.
All right.
Yeah. I present one side to one housemate and then a completely different side to a different housemate.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you play the housemates off each other?
Has been known to happen. Yeah. Even this week.
This is good. This is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Housemate.
Yeah. There was an incident.
I want to hear this. Go on. Let's.
Four of us in the house. Incident a few months ago. Somebody turned on the heat and...
Hang on. That's an incident. Someone turning
pretty
on
much,
the heat.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the winter months and that caused a flip out on from another housemate. This was a waste of money. You know, we shouldn't be turning on the heat. I wasn't part of that. But then, of course, it's October now and it's time to start switching on the heat, and we've been putting it off in case another flip out occurred. So I'll take the hit from everybody and pretend I don't know anything about the flip out.
So you said I'll turn it on, but you didn't say I'm going to pay any extra money for it.
No. No, I didn't do that.
It's poop, poop, all aboard for round one.
Poop, poop,
poop. It's poop, poop, all aboard.
Isn't it poop, poop, boats?
Stop the jingle a second.
Poop, poop, all aboard.
Poop, poop, all aboard.
Poop, poop. Choo, choo.
No, no, choo, choo's the sound of the train, though.
Yeah,
poop,
I mean...
Poop,
poop. Poop, poop, all aboard.
Or is maybe toot, the... toot.
We can go back and re-record it. It's fine. we'll do options.
We just want a deep dive into your sound effects.
We've met our contestants, so it's choo-choo all aboard.
That's not right.
I don't think choo-choo all aboard is right.
Let's go back.
It's basically, well, what about blowing a long whistle?
Oh, that's
ooh,
good.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
We'll have to drop...
Can it's anyone... blowing a long whistle all aboard.
It's blowing a long... Can anyone here do a nice long... can anyone do like a proper like fingers in the mouth whistle?
Oh, there we go.
There we go. That's it. Okay. Let's give it a go, guys.
Poop, poop.
So we've met our contestants, so it's all aboard for round one. We've done it. We've cracked it.
Chew. A table seat. Facing the direction of travel. Choo-choo. The quiet carriage. Choo-choo. Till it starts to unravel. You get delayed. Some cunt's music plays. You have been diverted. The guy you're sat by looks perverted. The connection you needed has been missed. There is a replacement bus service. When you catch a train.
Wowee. Oh, I'm going to say it now. I think you're taking that money and spending it on sweets when I give it to you for when I give it to you for singing lessons.
That's a difficult.
Because the singing's got worse.
That's a difficult vocal.
That's not an easy vocal. She's
very
a talented singer, is Björk.
To tread the line between Icelandic and Welsh, especially when you're about to perform in Wales.
And which one was that?
That was Welsh. I can only do one accent, and it's Welsh.
So let's play our first round.
Poop.
Choo choo. Our first
choo-choo,
game.
Beep,
is,
beep.
Our first game is called Rush Hour. Now I'm going to give each player a category and they have to list as many things from that category before the timer goes off. Each player has exactly 1 hour. Because the game's called Rush Hour. It doesn't work otherwise, you know, otherwise. Because they've got to rush through an hour's. Okay. Our first game is called Rush 20 Seconds. I'm going to give each player a category and they have to list as many things from that category before the timer goes off. Each player has exactly 20 seconds. They get a point for every answer that I allow. And I will accept challenges from the other team
only.
Once the full hour, sorry, the full 20 seconds, has elapsed. We'll start first with John Luke Roberts.
J-L-R.
Ook. Roberts. I've got her out of order.
Did you forget your name?
That's Duclon Roberts, isn't it?
That's a great name.
We'll start with Duclon Roberts.
Duclon Roberts, as I live and breathe.
Right, we'll start with Duclon, and your 20 seconds begins when I say go, and your category is reasons for being late. Go.
You missed your train, you missed your bus, you lost your bicycle, your dog ate your shoes, your
Great.
Dog ate your knees, you are very ill, you've died, you've had a minor cardio infection, or whatever it's called, it's something like that, you've lost your hat and it's a cold day, you've lost your umbrella and it's a rainy day, you forgot that you had to be somewhere,
That's
you don't
time.
Like the person you're meeting.
That's really good. That was very good.
Very strong. Any challenges here from the other team, or do you accept all those?
I'm not sure about your dog ate your knees.
That was the one I was. That
I'll
was
accept one I shoes.
That was one I was going to pick up on.
Yeah.
Your dog ate your knees.
What? So your dog eats your knees, and you're going to be on time?
It's a fair point. It's a fair point, Parry.
He makes a good point. The point's carried. How many points did he get there?
That was 11 points.
11 strong points there.
Go on.
I was failing to see how losing your hat would make you late.
Yeah.
All right. Here
I
we
said
go.
That was my
cold day.
Wait. You're on my team.
That's true.
Or I'm on your team.
But I'm with Tina on this one.
Wait. And you're a magician.
Ah.
We'll make that a half a point, I think. So 10.5 points there. Next up, we've got Ben.
Hello.
Livid. Next, we've got Ben. Your 20 seconds begins when I say go.
Okay.
And Ben.
Yeah.
Your category is.
Okay.
Things that you kick. Go.
Your dog.
What? Yes.
It's just eating your knees. It's fair enough. The curb. A football. A head. I'm very sorry about that.
Oh,
my
God.
Don't know about
shout
that.
Out, mate.
I mean, it happens by accident. You kick.
That's your time. Okay. Now,
hang on. You kick the kick.
You kicked the kick.
Did you finish by saying you kicked the kick?
It got all Inception
yes.
on us.
That's on a drum kit.
Oh.
The kick drum if you've forgotten your pedal.
Few drummers in who really agree with that.
Yeah.
Someone said nice.
Well, finally some that. Drum content.
John Lucas, you've had your hand up for the entire round.
It's an audio podcast.
You're being polite. No, you're being polite. Quite right. What did you disagree with on Clark?
Well, I'd like to. You say you would kick your dog, which has just eaten your knees. With what are you kicking your dog?
It's a very, very good.
This is
point.
How we play, guys. This is how
this
we play.
This is how we play.
With what remains?
Your dangly legs.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, no, wait, the pain that you're making the situation worse for yourself.
I tell you what, I'll come over there and kick you with my dangly legs in a second. Mate.
Wow, he's turned.
I don't think we can allow it, I'm afraid. I think that is technically a stump nudge. So,
and that is your final stump nudge, Clarky.
Technically a stump
technically
nudge.
Technically a stump nudge, guys.
That's fair enough.
So, at the end of that, producer Gwyn, how many points did Clarky manage to get?
3.
Oh my God.
A whopping 3. Okay.
That's an absolute stump nudge of a score.
Now it's Eleanor. If you can claw this back for your team. Your 20 seconds begins when I say go, and your category is things that make you warm. Go.
Clothes, coats, jackets,
All famously clothes.
Clothes, coats, jackets, bearskins, blankets, hats, gloves, scarves, shelter, windbreakers.
The sun.
That's your type.
The sun. That is your type.
The sun.
Hang on a second. Also, firstly, it's not for you to shout out the sun.
She looked at me.
Where was the sun in things you kick? By the way, you've got to stop kicking my son, by the way.
No, I'm very sorry.
Developing a complex. So, now...
Tis like, but a stump nudge.
Kicking the sun sounds like a euphemism for a really good night out.
Oh,
we kicked the sun that night.
Kicked the sun. It's a great night out.
Paul was kicking the sun.
Yeah. Tell you who else was kicking the sun? Roger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Barry.
Yeah, Barry kicked the sun.
If these people are fathers, this is horrible.
Susan came along, she kicked the sun. Here's the thing, Eleanor. Now, if I was being incredibly unfair...
Can I challenge with that?
Is that what you're going
to... You said clothes, and then you proceeded to list a lot of clothes.
Yeah.
So my question is, do they get reduced to 1 point?
Did you say clothes, semicolon, and then a bunch of clothes, all under the same 1 point? That's the thing.
You see, when I said clothes the first time, I meant all the clothes that I wasn't going to say.
Oh,
you didn't.
In which case, then
did
I
you
think.
So I said all the clothes.
So all the other clothes. So that's probably a couple of thousand points to start. I mean, how many types of clothes are there?
Loads.
Loads of types of clothes. 4,000 types of clothes.
At least
that. So it's 4,000 there in clothes. Okay, and what's the how many points on top of that?
On top of the 4,000, there is 10.
Wow. So
I'm going to ask for the good of the record that we strike the 4,000 points off the record for clothes.
What? I'll give you the 10. How about that?
Do you know what? Because you put the record before yourself, 4,000 points. You know what? Happy to do it.
Thank you.
It was a wonderfully selfless moment. It really moved me. It was like the end of Cinema Paradiso. Okay. So... That's 4,010 points to Eleanor, extra 4,000 to Tom. Now,
poop.
Tom, everything to play for here. Your 20 seconds, as you know, begins when I say go.
Can you say poop?
Poop. I'll say poop, sure.
Instead of go.
Your category is ways of greeting people. Poop.
Nod your head, tuck your arm, give a little slap, have a little wave, kiss, nod. Stroke your face, rub your noses, chest bumps, rub your armpits, wave again, chuckle, exchange greetings, talk about how each other's doing, ask about your family, how's your dad doing?
And that's your time.
Not bad.
Okay.
Not right. Bad.
Tom.
That's not bad.
Tom, I was thinking more along the lines of hello. Hello. You know what we mean by a standard greeting, rather than talk about your uncle and tuck your armpit.
That's a Mason's thing.
Is it? Right, okay, I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Okay, any challenges?
There's almost too many. I mean, tuck your armpit.
Yeah.
You've never tucked your armpit when you meet someone?
As a greeting?
It's very rude not to.
Have you not been to Portugal? Hola.
Any other challenges?
Yeah, there was four waves, I think.
Like feminism. Are you being anti-feminist then?
It does sound like you're being very misogynistic.
I was just saying there wasn't enough.
Can I say now, physically, all those waves are different?
Oh, okay.
Do you one's up there, yep. One's like down here,
yeah, okay.
One of those is like that,
yeah.
And one's the Queen's wave.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I kind of implied with my tone.
What are the scores after that?
Well, I counted one wave, but I'm going to give you an extra for the Queen's wave.
Oh,
so that was 15.
15?
15.
Oh,
and I can tell you now, no one in the room is happy with that score.
Real.
No one's on your side.
Real deafening silence there.
I tell you what.
A man very openly stroking his chin, which is a greeting, by the way, in my book.
20 seconds on the clock,
oh my
Mr. John
God,
Luke Roberts, for things you might regret. Go.
Hats in the first go of this round. You might regret killing someone. You might regret hurting somebody's feelings. You might regret physically hurting someone. You might regret not trying hard enough in your exams. You might regret not having your breakfast because you're really hungry and you've got a lot to do that day. You might regret leaving to drive to Aberystwyth at noon when it will take you at least 9 hours to do it.
That's your time. Very strong showing there from John Luke Roberts there.
If I was a therapist, I would suggest that John Luke Roberts has killed someone.
Wait, there were things you might regret.
There's 4,000 points in it. Have you killed someone?
There's 4,000. What, for any answer? Or
if you confess now, and this becomes the listen, we want to make cereal money. Yeah, we want to make some of that sweet making a murderer coin.
Enough money. Then I to can't buy tell you yet. Cereal.
Well, you've got to work out whether I've killed someone over several episodes.
Okay, I tell you what. In 7 episodes' time, will you come back and tell us if you've killed someone?
Yes.
4,000 points. Okay.
Listening to John Luke Roberts that day kind of got me thinking. He had like a way about him, something he was hiding, but I also trusted him.
As a man who's never watched or listened to cereal.
Tom, that was Sex in the City.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's it. That was it.
Very much the cereal
Sex,
of the night.
Yes,
the cereal.
Yes.
Sex in the cereal.
Okay.
How many points was that?
Loads.
Seven points.
Removing those extra 4,000 for Tom's impression there.
Oh, great.
And do...
Right, this will be our highest score.
Go rogue. Clarky.
Hello.
Clarky, mate.
Oh, my God. This is going to be amazing.
When I say poop, I would like you to tell me as many bad injuries. Poop.
Oh, breaking your arm, breaking your leg, breaking your bloody head, losing a tooth. Oh, I've snagged my nail. I've stubbed my toe. Oh, I've fallen down the stairs. I've fallen up the stairs. I've fallen across the stairs. I slid down the banister and then fell off it.
That's your time.
Got very stuck on stairs.
Yeah. I did. Again, I feel like it's another crime thing, isn't it?
This is like the staircase.
The staircase,
it's really good.
I found myself thinking that day.
Yes.
Where do those stairs go to? Up or down?
Sorry, that's never a question, is it?
Oh no, I'm on the wrong stairs. I'm going the wrong way.
I guess it depends where you stood.
That was if MC Escher was hosting the podcast.
Can I challenge breaking your head?
Of course you can challenge breaking your head.
Who breaks their head?
Well, I mean, it's a bone, isn't it?
If you fracture your skull, you crack your head open. You don't break your head.
No, wait, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a bale of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown. Which
famously
his
a crown.
Yeah, and it's broken.
But that's...
Oh,
that's
hang on, what? It was his head?
Yeah.
Jack wasn't a prince.
No. It wasn't an actual crown. No.
This is exciting. Tom's just had his mind blown.
Once that new evidence was discovered, I couldn't look at the case of Jack and Jill again.
Isn't there a thing that, like, Jack is, like, a canon or something like that?
That's Humpty Dumpty.
Oh, that's Humpty Dumpty. That's it.
Jack was a cannon? Judy?
Judy? What's
Judy, get over here.
Jack's a cannon. Okay, Eleanor, you have 20 seconds after I say poop.
How many points did I get?
Oh, sorry, how many points did you get?
Thank you, Ben. You got 10 points.
Yeah!
10 strong points there.
Insane.
Thanks, guys.
Insane.
Fucking come on, boy.
Hang on. Did falling across the stairs get a point?
Yeah.
What's happening here? Do you remember the halcyon days
Mate,
where we
you
challenged...
you tuck your armpit.
Do you remember the halcyon days where losing a hat was challenged for a reason to be late? Now you can fall across the stairs and no one gives a fucking shit.
Eleanor Tiernan, after I say poop, I'd like you to give me, in 20 seconds, as many as you can think of, insults.
Oh, you're shit. You're a bell end. You're daft. Or you don't even know how to... fall across the stairs. You don't know how to walk. You're useless. Don't talk to me. I don't like you. You're shit. Just go home. Okay.
Let the record show. I've not said poop yet, mate. And quite frankly, if you didn't want to do the show, don't respond to our WhatsApps.
That came far too naturally.
And yes, I've got 10 to 2 feet, but to say I can't walk is really beyond the pale. Eleanor, your 20 seconds. Again. Your 20 seconds begins now.
You're awful.
Poop.
You're awful. You're annoying. Stop. Shut up. You're such a twat. I hate you. Just go away. Go and die. You shouldn't be here. You're not wanted. You're a loser. You're banned. Shut up.
That's your time. Thank you very much, Eleanor Tiernan, everybody.
Takes me back.
Yeah.
It's like being back at school again.
Let the record show, John Luke Roberts has his hand up.
John Luke.
Old Jude Long.
Stop isn't an insult. it's a request or a demand.
Yeah, and I would also say the same for you shouldn't be here. Because you shouldn't be here is like, that's quite instructional. If you go into a dentist and go, I'd like a pack of pork chops. And
yeah,
they said,
dentist?
You shouldn't be here.
Right.
It's not an insult, is it?
Yeah, but...
Wait. A pack of pork chops?
You go to a dentist, you go, can sure. I buy a pack of pork chops?
Yeah. And they say, you shouldn't
be here.
No, but if you're at your best friend's funeral and their mother comes up and says, you shouldn't be here.
Yeah. Wait, no.
This is episode 7.
Yeah. This is episode 7.
Yeah.
Let's not get here too quick.
I found myself thinking, why was the victim's mother so cross at her presence? Was this another clue?
And why did I bring so many pork chops at his funeral?
How many was that, by the way, for Eleanor?
That was 12.
12. Okay, Tom, we're going to end with you. You've got 20 seconds after I say poop, poop, to tell me as many as you can things that look weird. Poop, poop.
My face, my balls, my arse. It's got a rash on it at the moment. Clarkie's balls. In fact, everyone's balls. Sometimes when you're upside down, everything looks weird. The back end of a car. The inside of a horse. The back side of a cow. Oh, I'm in real trouble. A farmer's nose.
That's your time.
A donkey's cow.
That's your time. Can I just say, we're not going to include a donkey's cow. Because
a donkey's cow doesn't look weird.
Parry, I would, with the best will in the world, I'd love to include a donkey's cow. But unfortunately...
I have not got the heart to fight for it.
I just pressed stop when you said a donkey's cow.
Donkey's cow was
and
just
it was already
time.
On 20.53 seconds.
Have you ever seen a donkey's cow, though? Because honestly, guys,
it ain't right. It ain't no normal cow.
In the front row, and his expression is, what the fuck is this? Oh man alive.
There's four people on stage that have that same expression, mate.
So any challenges there? Apart with
so many.
The donkey's cow's
basically,
not there.
I'd say everything apart from your face.
You think his balls look not weird?
Yeah.
Don't make me prove it. Don't.
Tom, and not for the first time, I'm going to allow your balls.
Thank you.
Back end of a cow.
The back end of a cow?
Back end of a car.
Hang on, when was the last time you looked at the back end of a cow? I took a photo of one when I was a kid on a school trip. And that was the days when you only had 24 photos for the whole day. And my mum and dad took me to collect the photos. And there was a big thing around, why had I taken such a close-up photo of the back end of a cow?
How close-up was it?
It was quite close.
Yeah.
And like, oh, the more you look at it, we had to look at it a lot. We talked about it. The more you look
Are
at
you
it,
you're making
the weird...
this up.
No.
Was this just you and your family, or were the people who worked at the photo place also?
No. Fortunately, we'd left Snappy Snaps, so it was. But the more you look at it, the weirder it gets. It's like the word meringue. You know, like when you look at it, the more you look at it, after 2 days of looking at that, the back end of a cow, you don't know which way's up.
I'm going to allow the back end of a cow.
Oh my god.
But only because I just want that story to finish.
I think if you
the back end of a car, I'm not going to allow.
That's what I was going to ask for.
Yes, go on.
Because, well, just if you need justification, the reason being that you can't disallow the back end of a cow. Allow the back end of the cow and then The cows and cars are too different.
Do you know
to be
what?
In the same category.
I like it so much when we're on the same page.
Yeah.
After what? Because we got off on the wrong foot earlier on, didn't we? You and I. But you know what?
It wasn't easy.
Better together. So, with the back end of a horse and the back end of a cow and a donkey's cow, stricken from the record.
Donkey's cow.
We're not. No, donkey's cow. Not going to get in.
Sorry I had to do that.
Back end of a donkey's cow?
I'm not allowing it! Producer Gwyn, what has that done to the scores in total?
Bear in mind, everyone, this is still the first round.
Oh my God! It's only round one.
So that was 8 points for Tom.
Eight points makes it
4,041 and a half to Tom and John Luke. And Ben and Eleanor have 4,036.
Yeah. Tom and John Luke are in the lead, but there's not yet blood on the tracks. There's everything to play for as we get a green signal. Poop, poop.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's round two, flat games!
Yay!
Let's play together!
Games!
Let's play forever!
Roll the dice!
Spin that thing!
Put that there!
Do as you're told! Games!
If you lose, you get nothing!
Oh, games! If you win, you get gold! Gold! Gold!
Whoa! Listen to that atmosphere! It's like Nebworth in here! Sit yourselves down! Put your shirt back on, man! Calm down, Aberystwyth! It's a podcast!
Guys, we've really kicked it in the sun. Yes, it is Flat Games, where we'll be playing our version of Pick Up Sticks, which we're calling Limerick Up Quicks.
Pardon?
I'm going to... Hold fire. I'm going to ask these pricks to come up with as many original limericks as they can in 2 minutes. They'll pluck a Welsh name out of the hat, and then they will go a line each through a limerick, okay? Your time starts now.
Bridge End. There once was a man from Bridge End.
Who had an old, terrible bend.
He jumped in his car.
And said, let's go far.
But in the end, he just suspend.
Okay. I'm just going to stop the clock. Just going to stop the clock a second.
Hang on. Hang on.
Just going to stop the clock a second.
What's your beef? What's your beef there? Nothing to see here.
Okay. Hey.
Just a limerick.
Calm down.
Right, listen.
What, in the end, he just suspend?
Sit down.
What's your beef?
I'm not going to allow that first one, right?
Can we start again then?
No, you cannot start.
Well, we're not going to allow you to have started already if you're not going to allow that first one.
You've got a minute 40 still to go, so everything to play for. Off you go.
There once was a fellow from Barry.
And a horse he wanted to marry.
He said, what's the chance?
And then he...
Did a dance. And called their first child Harry.
Lovely.
There we go, I'm going to allow that one.
There once was a woman from Cardiff
whose hair was incredibly stiff.
She went to the barber
down by the harbour
and he turned it into a quiff.
There was an old lady from Brill.
She was up for a thrill.
She went to the fair
and she didn't care
that everyone there had been killed.
There once was a dog from Llanelli
who made a noise a bit like
his leg fell off.
He did a big cough.
And then they buried him.
There once was a swan lived in Swansea.
He had less than one knee.
He hopped all about.
Let me guess, they're starting to shout.
I wish I had more than one knee.
There once was a lady from Wrexham
who didn't know how to expect them.
She offered her face
and gave them some grace.
And in the end, she did Wrexham.
Okay, that's the...
That was a real journey.
I'll tell you now, guys, that was...
I really enjoyed that.
I think we can do that for an hour. Can we do that for an hour?
No, you cannot do that for an hour. If I was to draw a graph of that, it would have looked like a mountain. Because it started so poorly, and then it reached some pretty dizzying heights, and then you crashed it into the side of the round itself.
But don't want to start to lose...
Don't you want to see the rest of the mountain range?
not at that close distance, okay. I think, no. How many is that then? If we're not, I won't include the first or the last.
Hang on.
Wait.
Let the record show the last one was one of the strong ones.
Yeah. Can we hear it again, please?
There once was a lady from Wrexham
who didn't have her pair of specs on.
No. Oh, hold on. Hold on.
How to expect them was fine.
Okay.
There once was a lady from Wrexham
who didn't know how to expect them.
She offered her face,
and they gave her some grace.
And in the end, she damn near wrecked them. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I mean, imagine repeating it.
Okay. Let's give Clarkie his go then. Here we go. I'll be writing these down.
The gloves are off. Okay. There are yours. How many did we get there though?
That was six.
Six, and you know what? For the actual compositions, I'm going to give you a further 7 points there. So congratulations, 13 points for that round.
Amazing.
Clarkie. Now, you've talked a big game. Yeah. We're expecting big things here.
I didn't talk a big game. I just said that rhyming Wrexham with Wrexham wasn't that good.
Rectum.
Edward Lear always just repeated the first line and the end line of his limerick.
It's in the grand tradition of the absurdist himself.
I'll take that tip.
Oh, no.
Here we go. Okay, so your 2 minutes, Eleanor and Clarkie, begins now.
There once was a man from Port Talbot.
Who had an incredible lombot.
I'm going to stop the clock.
Oh, the old lumbut reels its ugly head. It's only a matter of time before the old lumbut appears. Oh,
listen, can I clarify what's...
Yeah, please clarify.
Please explain.
We're 12 seconds in, so everything to play for.
I misspoke.
I cannot allow lumbut.
No, but...
I'm sorry.
No, she didn't mean to say lumbut.
I've set a precedent with the donkey's cow. If I don't let the donkey's cow through and I let Lumbot through, I mean, where would I be? Okay, so there was a man from Port Talbot. Here we go.
There once was a man from Port Talbot.
Who went to the high-end retail store, Lombok.
I'll stop the clock again.
I just thought of it there. After I said Lombot... I said Lombok sounds a bit better, and it is a thing.
What is it?
It's a high-end furniture retail store.
And it's called Lomboks?
Lombok.
Lombok?
Yeah.
And the word is Port Talbot?
The word is Talbot. Yes.
I don't want to be mean to you here, because...
Let the record show that John Lee Roberts has his hand up.
Yes.
You correctly identified that it didn't rhyme, Matthew, but you also could identify it didn't scan either.
I mean, it's... You know what? That's 4,000 points. I'm going to start the clock again.
Oh my God.
No, I'm not going to start it again. I'm going to start it from where we were before. You've got 22 seconds in. Okay. The name is Port Talbot. Okay. Port Talbot.
Port Talbot.
Port Talbot. Okay. Yep. Here we go. Off you go.
There once was a man from Port Talbot.
Who was interested in everything all but.
I'm going to have to allow
he had
that.
He had a lovely day.
He went to the hay.
And then it turns out his name was Albert.
The crowd have really turned. Next one.
There once was a girl from Newport.
Who, sadly...
Oh, no. Why have I gone down this road?
What did he sadly do?
Who sadly her dress was too taut.
She loved to sew things.
And then fucking hell. And wear lots of rings.
So the battle was won and was two fought.
Sure, where's our round of applause?
Let's see if you can get one more in. You've got 20 seconds left.
Okay.
I can't wait for you to have to repeat all of these.
Okay. There once was a gal from Porthcawl
who never was found in the hall.
She had a lovely time
and learned how to rhyme,
and it turns out she was just a little too small.
Oh, it was a sad ending, but yes, well, there we go. Right. Okay, so how many of these are we going to allow, Gwyn? How many do you make it? They did.
They did three, but we can't let the Port Talbot one go.
I mean, should we just round it up to an even 4,000 points?
Okay, and I can't. You're right. I can't allow it. So I think two. It is
2,000 points.
Two points for the limericks, and out of 10 for the poetic license. Four. Yep. I mean, that's generous, isn't it?
Halfway through that, I've worked out we were quite good at it.
It was quite satisfying, wasn't it? It was quite a satisfying feeling. Oh, we nailed that, actually.
If you'd gone second, you would have seemed like the absolute maestros. Would have been amazing.
We're living in a post-Lumbot era.
I worked out it was harder than I thought it was going to be.
I mean, you worked it out along with everybody else. Something else. So, Producer Gwyn, you child of these lands, what are the scores at the end of that round?
Tom and John Luke have 4,054 and a half, and Ben and Eleanor have 4,042.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Now, looking out of the lush, rich pastures of Wales with the herds of cattle has really put me in the mood for some beef. It's Beef Brothers!
Whoa!
Yes, it's Beef Brothers, where each week we ask our panellists to sort out a flat share based beef. And today's one comes from Katie, who is in our audience. Hi, Katie, how are you doing?
All right, thank you.
Great. Lose the attitude. Now, Katie writes, my husband forgot to feed my pet rats, so one escaped, ran upstairs and jumped into bed with me, waking me up to tell me. Now, Katie, is your husband here?
Yep.
Okay.
Is your pet rat here?
No, sadly she couldn't make it.
That we know of. What's the name of the pet rat, by the way?
Charlie,
lovely name. It's my wife's name.
You've got a similar arrangement, don't you?
That's right. She's allowed to sleep in the same bed with me and wake me up. And what's your husband's name, please?
Matt.
That's my name.
Hold on. What's your name?
Katie.
That's my name.
What? You say your husband forgot to feed the pet rat. Now, I'll tell you now that Tom and John Luke, you are...
Hey-o! Legends, hi. Assemble!
Hello.
Hello, guys. You are on the side of...
Tucking my armpit.
Kicking the sun.
You're on the side...
Lumbot in till we die, baby! Lumbot's for life.
So Ben and Eleanor, points, you're on please. The side of Katie, and Tom and Luke, you are on the side of Matt, okay?
So we're in favour of not feeding rats.
You're in favour of not feeding rats and letting them sleep in your bed. Okay, so if you've got any questions, let's start with a question for Katie, but we'll also open up questions for Matt as well. Katie, any questions for Katie?
Katie, did you have the pet rat before you had the husband?
No.
Okay. Do you consider the rats to be your pet? Rather
no, they're
than your
our
husband's.
Pets.
Okay.
And I'd been away for 3 days with work, so I was really tired and went, oh, can you feed the rats tonight? I'm going to bed. Mm-hmm. And he went, yeah. And
so
then
and you'd already fucked off for 3 days before that.
Yeah.
So he'd been feeding them conjecture. He'd been feeding them for 3 days.
That is conjecture, Tom, as well, you know.
Interesting, though. He'd been feeding them for 3 days. You came home, finally home. And you said, I'm going straight to bed. Feed him again.
Pretty much.
Interesting.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Of course you can.
Do you normally have a rotor system for... Like, is there normally a way in which
or
you feed rats?
Or rata system, if you will.
Thank you very much, Tom. That was that was very helpful. Okay. Is there... Do you normally have some kind of system for who has to feed the rats when?
No, normally I feed them unless I ask him to.
Right. And does he get any say?
Apparently not, no.
Thank you.
Any questions for either Katie or Matt?
What do you feed your rat?
Rat food?
Katie, I'm going to ask you again. Lose the fucking tune, mate. We don't all keep rats, all right? What constitutes rat food? What kind of stuff do you put in the rat cage for them to eat? What is it?
It's a muesli mix of different things.
It's a muesli mix. Here we go.
Of course it's getting out. That's, you know, if someone was saying it's a... they're feeding me human food. Awful. You've got to give them the good stuff. And they'll stay in the cage.
What's the good stuff for a rat?
Cheese.
I think you might be thinking of cartoons then. Ah!
What service do you provide, Katie, in your job to the community?
What do you do for a living? Is that the question?
Yeah. Slightly Ella's leading really, question, though.
Ella's a really weird compare. Yeah. And can I inquest what your moniker is, please?
What do you do? I'm a teacher. So, yeah, I teach children with autism, so I'd just taken a group of children on a residential for 3 days.
Okay, yeah.
So I was very tired.
That's important.
Okay, yeah, important work. You could say you're providing a service to the community, even.
You could indeed. Yeah.
Was it against their will?
No.
Good question.
Are you, presumably you do this just charitably, you're not paid a wage to look after those children?
I am paid, but I wasn't paid any extra for working 24 hours a day.
What was your reaction when Charlie the Rat appeared in your bed? Oh.
I was...
Okay.
I was asleep, so I felt something crawling along my leg, thought it was a spider and screamed and jumped out of bed.
You go, oh, it's just a rat.
Yeah, that was a bit of a relief.
Matt, well, what do you do?
I am a computer programmer.
Computer programmer. Okay.
Okay.
Are you a fan of rats?
Weird not to.
We have one or two.
Matt, how do you feel about rats?
We do have a 10 rat limit.
A 10 rat limit? How many rats do you have?
A rat king.
We have 10.
You've got 10.
Hang on, you've got 9 other rats.
No, there was only one escaped.
Only one escaped. What's your fucking beef, Katie? The other 9 are in there.
Wait, this is back.
Chill out, you psycho.
So, how big is, and what you keep them in a cage, presumably, right?
Yeah, quite a large.
This is blowing the fucking cage right open.
This is
slightly
different.
Right.
How big's the cage?
Yeah.
10 rats, or as it's known in the business, a sewer's dozen.
So. You had fed all the rats. You'd fed all 10 of them.
No, we hadn't fed any.
Oh, you forgot to feed all of them.
But one gutsy rat broke out. Made his way up the stairs.
I'll go upstairs. I'll have a chat with them. Don't worry.
They nominated Charlie.
They nominated Charlie. He was the middleman rat, the middle rat. He went up there. He said, what's going on? And then did they get fed after that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I fed them.
Oh.
Well, this is fascinating. Whereabouts do you guys live?
Stafford.
Stafford, okay, so the Midlands.
Yeah.
And
can I ask what the names of the other 9 rats are?
Let's do it, yeah. And can we please hear them in song? No, love to hear the names of the other rats.
Luna, Minerva, Sybil, Ruby, Phyllis, Doris.
Oh,
oh dear.
Hedwig and Scabbers.
Splinter. Times 5.
Let the record show that the lady accusing her husband of not looking after her rats doesn't know the names of most of the other rats.
No, but she'd recognise them if she saw them. That's the difference.
Especially if they were in bed with me.
There you go.
Fair enough. Okay, right.
Do you sleep with a lot of your rats?
I try not to.
Are they're not like... Like, they're not like dangerous, are they, rats? They wouldn't bite you or anything like
no,
that.
No, they're really friendly.
Really friendly. And they're not like, these are like clean rats. They're
yes.
not like, them got like plague.
It's a very pleasant.
You don't keep plague rats.
You don't keep plague rats.
You haven't got plague rats.
Not at the moment, no.
Because Because it's a little late in the gig, but if you do keep plague rats, do you mind leaving? We managed to make it this far without getting plague.
We've had an incident previously.
At
the McCunthalith Comedy Festival.
Right, okay, hopefully that is enough information for our teams to make their cases. So without further ado, I'm going to call upon Eleanor Tiernan. You have 1 minute to begin the case for the prosecution, starting now.
A woman.
The defence rests.
Giving her time, her skills to her, the people in her community who need them the most. She takes some leave. She handles most of the rat care in the house. She cleans the cage as well. She secures the cage always. She's a completely responsible rat owner. And just this one time, she has to go and give her services elsewhere. And she needs one thing from her husband: just feed the bloody rats, will you? Just feed them. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'll do everything else when they come back, you know. And what does she do? She comes back, she thinks it's all done, she's lying in bed the next day.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine night.
Night. Yeah. It's tiring work. Lying in bed the next day, she feels the tickle on her leg, it's crawling up, she thinks it's a spider, but no, it's something much, much worse. She looks down and one of the rats has been so emaciated.
I mean, your minute ended ages ago, but I'm really enjoying the story.
It's so emaciated, and there's a look in its eye. It's actually turned into something beyond, you know, the cute, cuddly creature that we know. It's trying to kind of tear away at the skin of her foot. It didn't get food. You can't blame a creature, but it has to survive. And we know rats are the most, you know, robust of all of the species. They'll do what it takes to make sure that the generation continues. The woman. She jumps out of bed, she gets up, and she sees her husband comes in, and, you know, he's just a shell of a man.
This isn't a summation, this is a dramatic reenactment.
That's what I love about it.
And it's bloody brilliant.
Yeah. I want to sell this to Netflix.
And they're there, and he says, I'm sorry, my love. And she said, I don't know what to say to you now anymore. I don't know how to look at you. This is, you know, I thought I knew you, and now you don't feed rats. This is the man I married. And he says, well, what can I do to make it up to you? And she said, look, I can't speak right now, but I think if we go to Pappy's flat share slam down, they'll give us some clarity. I ask you, Matt.
And here we are now.
To rule in favour. Look at this poor woman.
I think that was. That was something else. Thank you, Eleanor Tiernan.
That was beautiful.
For a very in-depth summation of the case there. John Luke.
Yes.
You're going to start the case for the defence. Uh-huh. Now, we've heard the story.
Yeah. So no need
to repeat it.
No time to repeat it.
No time to repeat it either. Your minute begins now.
A penniless computer programmer forced to care for a 10-rat household by himself while his wife abandons him for 3 days to go and cream dollar off autistic children. Those ten rats living in a tiny cage. They want adventure, they need adventure. And he looks into their eyes and he knows it. And he knows the only thing that will make them break their programming and run to the bed, run to the different places in the house and go, look how free we can be, is if he doesn't feed them for one night to teach them to look after themselves, to grow and to escape from that household like he knows he never could.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Very, very strong case there from both Eleanor and John Luke. Katie, how do you think it's going so far?
Hope it's going okay.
Real attitude.
What a chill. This is unbelievable.
What is her problem?
Right. Matt, how are you feeling about it?
Everything I would have said.
If you were a louder voice.
Yes. Now, Clarkie, you're going to conclude the case for the prosecution.
Yes.
Your minute begins now.
There once was a gal called Katie, whose rodent was sadly let free. 'Twas Matt who let out the rat, because he's a bit of a twat. It would have stayed if they'd just given it brie.
The defence rests.
Very strong. Very strong.
Some very strong half rhymes.
Very strong half rhymes.
And some time to write that.
Some internal rhymes as well that really confused everybody.
Yes.
And all in all, 4,000 points. Now, so finally, Tom, we're going to conclude the case for the defence. Are you going to do it as yourself?
No, I'm going to do it in the style of a Deep South defence lawyer from a John Grisham novel, Mr. Fanshawe Standen.
Fanshawe Standen, presiding and providing your minute should you need it, begins now.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you're probably a lot like me, simple folk looking for his lunch. Thirsty work sitting round here waiting for them there lawyers there to clear their throat. Old Dr. Briefcase over there, Jack and Nori. Round here we simple folk. We took our trousers into our socks. We jogged a marathon. We ain't running nowhere. I'll see you on the start line. A lot of that there talk here today about them there defensive rhyming words over there. We ain't rhymed in this city for 200 years. You probably remember the last time it happened. Old Tabitha. And the word that she rhymed with herself. No one will repeat it. Listen to that story there. Listening to that story, dear, reminded me, kind of got me thinking, I'm sure did you too, of old John, the prospector, lived up there in the old mine shaft. You remember John there with his 14 children. John. John. Jonathan. Johnny. Jay. Joe Nose. And the rest of them. Hell, he used to take them boys down to mine with him day in, day out. Get out there on the cliff face, nuzzle next to each other, smell the coal. He wasn't a good miner, was he? Can't smell coal. Not under the ground. Y'all remember that fateful Thursday, of course, when Jonas got the sniffles. Hell, the whole mountain collapsed. Big sneeze. Big, big sneeze. Anywho, the defense rest.
Another half rhymes. A very, very compelling case made by both sides today.
Interesting.
We can agree on that. Now, I can't adjudicate Beef Brothers because these good Welsh fellows don't want an Englishman telling them what to do. There's a reason they voted Brexit. So instead, I'll call upon our Abu Dhabi audience. Sorry, our Aberystwyth audience. If you think Eleanor and Ben and therefore Katie is in the right, I'd like you to applaud now.
Wow.
If you think John Luke and Fanshawe made the best case, please applaud now.
The defence rests, Your Honour.
Congratulations to Fanshawe and John Luke. Apologies there to Katie. Sorry, mate.
My own family turned against me then.
next up, it's time for the round that is, well, it's shorter than my dick, and it's got a jingle longer than my balls. It's the quickfire round.
This is the quick fire round. It's the round that goes really quickly. Or at least it would be if it did not have this long introduction.
Ooh, it's very long.
It's such a long introduction. And it keeps on going on. We've been doing this long introduction for many years now. And sometimes it's hard to think about what to do with it. So we're opening up the forum to our listeners. If you have anything that you'd like to discuss, then just get in touch, mate.
Ooh, email us, please.
Or text Ben. His number is 07834 490 583. Text him what you'd like us to discuss in the quickfire round.
Text away.
Okay, cards on the table. That isn't Ben's number. I just made it up, but we might have a problem. That's bound to be a real person's number. Please don't text them.
We're sorry about that.
But here's the thing, it could be a listener's actual number. Imagine if you're a listener now and you're listening to this and I just made up your number. If that has happened, then please get in touch.
That would be great.
Text us on 043-752-129. I just made that number up so you'd be texting another random person. They wouldn't know what you were talking about. Oh God, we've got ourselves trapped in a horrible state.
Ooh, we're in a horrible state.
Let's not text anyone and instead just get on with the quick fire. 07349241742 round. Ooh, 9150 50 50.
Come on, call Chad back. This quickfire round, I am calling, because it's train themed, I'm calling it Shania Train. I'm going to ask our panellists a simple trivia question that I would like them to answer in the format of Shania's hit song, Man, I Feel Like a Woman. So, for example, if I said, you think you're made of mahogany, you might answer, Man, I feel like I'm wooden. And if that's correct, you would hear... Instead of buzzers, I'd like you to shout out your first names. Ben and Eleanor. Would you shout those out now, please?
Ben. Eleanor.
Tom and John Luke.
Tom.
John Luke.
Okay.
Duke.
Duke. Love it.
Eleanor.
You can do portmanteaus if you like.
Thanks. Do you ever call yourself the Duke of Hazard?
The Duke of Hazard?
Yeah.
I do now.
Okay. Duke of Hazard, off we go. You think you were born in the capital of Italy.
Eleanor.
Eleanor.
Man, I feel like I'm in Rome.
Oh, well, Duke of Hazard.
Yes.
Man, I feel like I'm Roman.
You think you've been knitted.
Tom.
Oh,
man.
Tom.
Man, I feel like I'm woolen.
You think you're a Homo sapien.
Duke of Eleanor. Hazard.
Duke of Hazard. Oh, yes, go on, I think it was just Duke.
Man, I feel like a human.
You think you were born in Berlin.
Tom.
Tom.
Man, I feel like I'm German.
You think you're Jim Carrey, who doesn't know he's living inside a reality TV show.
Tom.
Just
man,
bam.
I feel like I'm Truman.
You think you played the president in Independence Day.
Oh, Jim, me. Hello.
Hello.
Man, I feel like Bill Pullman.
You think you're in Lord of the Rings and you say, my precious, a lot.
Tom.
Eleanor.
I'm going to give it to Eleanor.
Man, I feel like I'm Gollum.
You think you're a short jazz pianist married to Sophie Dahl.
Dookie Hazard.
Man, I feel like I'm Callum.
Absolutely right. And finally, you think you're what Corner Shop says everyone needs for a pillow.
Tom.
Ben. Tom.
Man, I feel like a bosom.
That is the end of that round, and indeed the end of the game. So before we find out the final scores, as always, if you're listening at home to the podcast, you can donate to the podcast at patreon.com/ Pappy's Flatshare. You can leave us a review on iTunes.
Please use the word Lumbot.
Please. Just the word Lumbot on five
slip
stars.
The
we'll
word,
accept.
Slip the word
go
Lumbot.
Go to Lumbok, the high-end furniture retail store.
Don't forget to go to Lumbok, the high-end furniture retail store, if you're ever in the old country. So, producer Quinn, let's hear those final scores.
Ben and Eleanor have 4,043, but the winners are Tom and John Luke with 4,058.5.
Hooray! So, Ben and Eleanor have to book the train, whilst Tom and John Luke get the train, a load of pints in the buffet carriage with me. Thanks to our guests, Eleanor Tiernan and John Luke Roberts. We're in Pappy's Slamdown. Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown featuring Matthew Crosby, Ben Clark, and Tom Parry. Special guests, Eleanor Tiernan and John Luke Roberts. It was advised by Pappy's and Ben Walker, recorded by Group Lee Davis and Emma Caution, and edited by Emma Caution. Please thanks to everyone who came down to see recording. Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown is a secret news production by Acast and Intel. Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Well, there we go. Choo-choo, everyone. Get to the station. The train's leaving.
Absolutely right. I think I said poop-poop on the actual episode. Do you remember?
Yes.
I said poop-poop, off we go. And
trains don't poop-poop.
No, famously they don't.
Clarky poop-poops on the train after all of his curry sauce. I can tell you that.
So, if you enjoyed this episode...
Which you did.
We're telling you now, you enjoyed this episode.
It's a fact. Come on. You're only human.
On Twitter, at Pappy's Tweet. Go to Facebook, where you can chat about the show at the Pappy's Fan Club. And also, if you want bonus episodes,
yes,
every
please.
Thursday we put out bonus episodes on our Patreon. So you can go to patreon.com/ Pappy's Flatshare.
Are they good? I've yet to listen.
Have you not listened to the bonus ones?
No, I haven't listened to a bonus one yet.
They're really good.
Oh, great.
They're great stuff.
If, in fact, there's a couple of episodes that we undenied about whether they're going to be main episodes because they were that good. And in fact, I would say the month we're recording this.
Yes.
Better bonus than the episode we put
out.
Oh,
it's like the B-side. It's like when Oasis took out their B-sides album.
And it was brilliant.
Not bad at all.
Exactly, yes. I think brilliant is how I'm going to describe it. But I think not bad. I tell you what, it was not bad at all, that.
Part. Come to our Patreon for some not bad at all stuff.
No, yes. The reason we couldn't put it out is because, as the main episode, it was too rude. It was the episode where you invented a new version of Love Island where everyone has to jerk off. And
it's going to get viewers.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Well, it's certainly been very popular on the Patreon. The grubby episodes are the most popular on the Patreon.
Right, well, get me to ITV2 for a pitching meeting.
Yeah, pitching a tent. Okay, enjoy the... it's finished now, isn't
it? Enjoy the rest of your week.
Enjoy the rest of your week and have a lovely time, and stay tuned for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time again for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call. Would you charge your glasses and please be upstanding?
Glasses, charge!
Oh, no, don't charge with your glasses. Just pop a little bevy in there.
Right.
Right, here we go.
Well, well, well. If it isn't our old chum... returning after years in the wilderness. Some say they would never come back after what they did. They famously...
Oh, Jesus Christ, Barry. Great name.
They famously did a fart shot. It's Christmas Sparshot.
Right. His name is Christopher Sparshot, not Christmas.
And that is the end of the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call.
Well. Look what the cat finally dragged in.
Oh, and it got the cream, didn't it?
The cat that got the cream has finally been dragged in.
Oh,
through,
it's got nine lives.
Through
hasn't
the
it?
Cat flap. Oh. Yes, all nine lives coming in at once.
Oh, it lives in a dustbin, doesn't
through
it?
Through the cat. Yes, absolutely. Like top cats.
Yes, like top cats.
Or boss cats, as
or
he was known.
Or the film cats.
Oh, Jellicle cats.
Here he comes.
Here he comes, old Rum Tum Tugger.
Tugging on his old rug.
Tugging on his old Rum Tum. Here he comes, old Mr. Mistopheles himself.
The chops on this cat.
We've searched earth and high heavens.
Wind and fire.
For the man, Christmas Evans. It's actually Chris Evans, but we'll call him Christmas Evans. Oh,
here she comes. Walking over the hill.
Walking over the hill.
Over the mound.
Over the mound.
And the dale. Coming from afar. It's Sarah Christmas Cummins-Scar.
And Cummins-Scar. The fire's lovely.
And lo, the people of Scar came into the house. Madness were there, the specials. And they warmed themselves by the fire. And it was a one-step Christmas! Turn down the stereo, what is on? We're listening to Scar, Danny Christmas, what's on?
Oh, turn up the television. We're watching the King's Speech. Come and join me, Rachel Christmas Leech.
One step beyond. Get that Scar cat out of here. Nine lives.
Oh dear. Here he comes.
Well, look, Father Christmas finally dragged in.
The cat dragged back in through the flap and out again.
Has dragged itself back in.
The cat has dragged himself by his own cat of nine tails.
Oh,
famously a whip.
But that, of course, has got nothing to do with the next person.
Okay, here we go.
Who's eating? He's eating a sandwich.
Oh.
You won't believe it. You won't believe it. He's eating a sandwich.
He's
making a right old messy time of it. He's having a messy jam sandwich. It's messy jam with Rowan Messingham.
Oh. Well, turn up the radio and listen to this Scar. One step beyond.
Whoa, hey, kid. It's not time for spa anymore. We're going to a rave. With Stuart Caveney! Human traffic!
Wolf? Wolf from Gladiators is there.
Well.
I haven't seen this fellow since last year. Oh. Yes, I remember it well. 24th of December.
A Thursday.
Twas the date. A Thursday, yes, but that's not the significance. It was a Thursday.
What was the exact date?
Check your GCal. It was 24th of December.
Well, yes, of course.
24th of December.
Famously a Thursday.
1940. 1942.
What a twist!
Oh, yes, it wasn't last year after all.
1942, the 19... Scars heyday.
1942. And I saw him. I saw him in the trenches.
Get into the bomb shelter!
I saw him in the trenches. And he kicked a football. He kicked a football.
What?
Over the top of the trench.
Christmas Eve.
Yes. That's the rhyme I'm going for. Hang on a sec. He kicked a Thursday. He kicked a football over the trench. And it landed in front of a German soldier. And the German soldier
was thirsty.
He was thirsty. He was it was Thirsty Thursdays. The Wetherspoons promo.
One step beyond.
He was Swedish. The football landed at his feet. Let's leave that. Let's not go back to it. Like a firework parry. Best not to revisit these things. And he kicked the football back towards this fellow. Thursday.
It was Thursday, lady.
It was Thursday. I remember it as if it were yesterday, but it was actually Christmas Eve. The man who invented the Christmas truce was Steve. One step beyond!
Into no man's land! Steve.
Oh. She's listening to her favourite Christmas ska records.
One Tree Hill!
Jesus Christ, Barry. What the fuck are you on about? One Tree Hill.
Of course he's listening to the Christmas classic One Tree Hill. And she's loving it.
Oh, hey.
She's having a dance.
Oh, hey.
She's having a pivot. She's having a fidget. Of course she is. It's Bridget.
One step beyond. Allie Ackid, are you going for one step beyond or two steps beyond? Calm down, what's the diff? That's what I say to my friend, Hugh Christmas Smith!
Merry Christmas to all our listeners. I should tell you now, we recorded this on the 3rd of February backstage.
Famously a Thursday.
Famously a Thursday, it's a Monday. Backstage at the Moth Club, but it felt very Christmassy, and I feel like every episode we've done probably for the last 2 months has felt Christmassy, so why break the habit of a lifetime? It's now a Christmas themed podcast, so tune in next week for Pappy's Flatshare One Tree Hill.
That concludes this week's Neighbourhood Watch. Roll call.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.